And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast.
Hello, sports fans and friends, family, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, cousins, and aunts of sports fans. For many people who love the NFL, this coming weekend is the best weekend of sports for the year. Like last weekend, there are four playoff games over 2 days. What makes it even better than last weekend is that the four teams with the best records in the league all rested last weekend, and now they host the winner of last weekend's playoff games. It's called the NFL Divisional Round of the Playoffs. To help prepare for the games, I invited my friend Brennan Gilfillan to join me in a series of podcasts. We'll go through each of the playoff games and talk through the most interesting characters, the basic plot of the game, who we want to win, and who we think is going to win. And just for fun, we'll share our favorite player names from each of the playoff teams. I hope you enjoy it.
Phew, we have made it to Sunday. So let's start with the first game of Sunday at 1:05 p.m. on Fox. It's the Dallas Cowboys at Green Bay Packers. We can start with the home team, the Green Bay Packers, and some interesting characters. Do you want to start, Brendan?
Yeah, the character we're watching this game will be Aaron Rodgers, who's probably, when healthy, the best quarterback in the NFL. He is virtually unbeatable at Lambeau Field, where they are in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which basically means that he somehow has figured out how to play in sub-zero temperatures. But the key with him is that he's a great throwing quarterback who is also athletic and can run and make plays, but he has sustained a calf injury in the last couple weeks of the season, and he kind of it's unclear how mobile he's going to be able to be. With that said, even on one leg, he's still probably better than virtually every quarterback in the league. But a lot of what it's going to be about is whether he's limited in what he can do. So that's what you'll hear the announcers talking about a lot.
Yeah, I listened to
I read a story this week about the fact that he has developed a habit of stroking this gentleman's 9-inch beard on the sideline when he's not on a field. And he also makes those atrocious State Farm commercials.
Is this gentleman is he employed by the team simply for this purpose, or does
he works for some contractor who's associated with either the NFL or the team. But mostly he just has a phenomenal beard.
Nice. I was just listening to the Grantland Football Podcast, which is very creatively called the Grantland Football Podcast. And they mentioned that Aaron Rodgers has not actually practiced at all this week so far. So it's really unclear how healthy he's not that healthy, but we'll see what he can do with his injured calf. The one guy I wanted to talk about is a wide receiver on the Packers named Jordy Nelson. He is one of the best wide receivers in the game. And I've actually heard him talk a little bit about this, but he benefits very strangely from a little bit of reverse discrimination. He is, he seems like he's a white guy. I don't know what his actual background is. But there is a little bit of a stereotype in the NFL that white players are not as fast as black players. This is not my stereotype. I don't think it's true. And it's certainly not true for Jordy Nelson. He is really, really fast. But what he has said in some interviews and what I've heard from his teammates as well is that they think cornerbacks sometimes line up against him, and because of the way he looks, they think, this guy's not going to run past me. And then he just always seems to run past them to score a touchdown. And it's like, it just is amazing with all of the video work these teams do that something like that could be true. But whether that's the explanation or not, he seems like he's always open for a long pass from Aaron Rodgers.
Or catching something short and outrunning everyone.
Yeah, that too. I mean, and that's just him being fast and hard to tackle, right? Yeah.
I mean, the other guy on the Packers, when they start talking about the defense, they'll talk about Clay Matthews. And you'll know who he is because he has beautiful, flowing blonde hair that you'll just want to reach out and touch your circuit. But he plays linebacker, and he is equally adept at, blitzing and attacking the quarterback and sacking him, and also covering wide receivers or tight ends, and hitting running backs as they come out of the backfield. So he's one of these kind of all-around freak athletes, again, with a beautiful head of hair.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still doing this, but I remember watching one Packers game this season where he had moved from his normal position from outside linebacker to inside linebacker, and the announcers just could not stop talking about it. They probably talked about it for 25 minutes during this game. It was all about Clay Matthews is on the inside, and we like this so much, and he's doing such great things here. So he's definitely a focus of attention for announcers and a good personality to know.
And to be clear, what we're talking about is the difference of about 3 yards of positioning on the field.
Right, yeah.
Apparently it makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, it certainly does. Football is all about technicalities.
Yeah.
Over on the Dallas side, I think it's worth revisiting Tony Romo, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, in part because I know, Eagles fan, you don't want to talk about him. But his entire narrative as a player was cannot win a close playoff game. And last week, he won a close playoff game. And so I just wanted your take on how much you think his narrative as an NFL player has changed.
Worse than that, not only did he win a close NFL playoff game, but he led a game-winning drive late in the game, which was the ultimate measure of what makes a clutch quarterback or not. I'm not entirely convinced I want to live in a world where Tony Romo is a clutch quarterback, but I guess I don't have a choice.
Well, you could talk to Cam Chancellor and see if you can leave the earth with him.
Yeah. Well, I think, look, that thing is a myth. It's always a myth. The great players, generally tend to separate themselves out. Andy Dalton will probably never get out of the first round because he's a mediocre quarterback. Tony Romo is a, by almost any objective measure, a great quarterback. So if he was going to be, he is statistically due for a run through the playoffs. I really don't think there's much of a clutch gene in any sense. I just think that, for various reasons, some years things happen your way, and for some years they don't. And I think this is one of the years where.
Yeah, I think I think there is a clutch gene, a little bit of one. And I just think that almost every single NFL player has it, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have made it that far in football. So I think the distinction between players in the NFL is probably not that great. But what I also think there is a whoops gene, and I know this because I have it. It's like I think we talked about last week. It's the scratching on the eight ball gene, the everything is going so well and I just can't help myself, but I'm going to mess it up a little bit. And that was something that Tony Romo had shown us over and over and over again in games, playoff, regular season. He didn't show it last week at all. And I kept looking for it, and I kept thinking, oh, Romo's going to throw an interception. And this week, I'm going to be curious to see if he can avoid it again.
Yeah, I don't think it's a gene. I think if it's anything, I think it is a kind of seed of doubt that gets planted in your mind after something bad has happened in a tight spot. In his case, he had a famous failing in a playoff game on one of the simplest plays that he could have been a part of. He messed it up. And I think, if anything, he may have some type of seed of doubt in his somewhere in the back of his mind. But I think, all told, I think he's kind of matured and is confident enough to the point where I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Yep. So the other guy on the Cowboys that I found interesting was a wide receiver named Cole Beasley. You will also be able to identify him by his flowing blonde locks. But he came up pretty big last week in the playoffs, and I think he's been more and more of a part of their offense. And he is he's 5'8". He's a tiny dude, and he just seems to be open all the time. And I don't know if it's that defenses, I think they're paying so much attention to Dez Bryant, who's their Cowboys' best wide receiver, and he's just a physical challenge to deal with if he gets the ball, and defenses really concentrate on trying to make sure that Dez Bryant doesn't get the ball. But as a result, this guy Cole Beasley seems to be open all the time, and he just sneaks around and make good plays. Great. Do you want to give us a first take on the plot of this game?
I think for me, the plot is if Tony Romo can go into Green Bay I think by all accounts, Green Bay should probably win this game. But if Dallas can go into Green Bay and Tony Romo can beat Aaron Rodgers, even when Howell is the best quarterback in the NFL, I think that for once and for all, Tony Romo gets that monkey off of his back, no matter what happens next. But otherwise, I think this is a fairly straightforward, well, maybe not with Green Bay. I guess the other plot is going to be whether Aaron Rodgers, who now it appears he actually has a tear and not just a strain in his calf muscle, whether he can actually play. I guess that's the primary plot, but the secondary plot, I think, is Tony Romo can outplay Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I think he's gotten the monkey off his back.
Yeah, for me, the plot of this game is just like, it's just big. This is the biggest playoff game of the weekend. Both of these teams are really big public teams, which means they're widely followed and known and rooted for or against throughout the country and not just in their local market. They're just bigger than life, right? It's like the Cowboys, their nickname is America's team. And if you're not attracted to the sort of overwhelming largeness of the Cowboys image, you probably kind of have a soft spot for Green Bay. They're the only collectively owned football team in the country.
You couldn't get a bigger contrast in ownership between Jerry Jones and the people of Green Bay.
Yeah, and even between the communities, right? Dallas is a big city and a big metropolitan area, and Green Bay is this tiny little town in Wisconsin, and it's like the entire town seems to just... I don't think the packing industry is big anymore, and they seem to just exist for this football team. And you mentioned Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field is this sort of... maybe the northernmost outdoor stadium in the country. Certainly one of the coldest ones. And I would, you know, you could probably find someone to take a bet on the number of times the announcers say frozen tundra during this game. So just the setting. Look, I hope it snows. That would be great to see. So to me, the plot, it's just about the spectacle.
And yeah, the cold. Yeah. You're gonna want to be bundled up watching this game, even if you're indoors. You're gonna be cold by association.
Yep. All right. Names on the Packers. There's really only one. You can have it. I've got a backup.
Oh, I have a backup as well. You go first.
What?
I said I have a backup as well. You go first.
Well, maybe we should just so the by far the best name in all of sports, I think, is belongs to a rookie defensive back on the Green Bay Packers named Haha Clinton Dix.
I don't really think there's anything that needs to be
said. There's nothing to say. But another, well, you give your name.
Well, so I am partial to John Kuhn, primarily because I like names that, so whenever he does anything, because he's a fan favorite, that the entire Packers crowd will yell Kuhn all at once, which sounds like he's being booed. And I'm partial to any situation where the announcers have to clarify, which they frequently do, that they are in fact chanting Kuhn and not booing their own team. And that's a pretty consistent trend in Packers games.
Yep. Yeah, my backup is a guy named Sam Shield, who's another defensive back on the Packers. And I just really like any name that seems professionally appropriate. His job is to make sure that the ball doesn't get through him to someone trying to catch it. And his name is Shield. It just makes me happy. And do you have someone on the Cowboys?
I do. Well, I can't remember if we did him last week, but I don't think we did. Tyler Klutz.
Ah, that was mine.
it's not a ton to say. He's a fullback, so you probably won't see a ton of him, but he's Klutz.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with the fullback position generally is that they're not considered the most athletic necessarily people. They're kind of more maulers.
Yep.
Klutz is just, I'm sure he's not actually a Klutz. I'm sure he's in the media and the rest of the population. He's insanely coordinated, but I think appropriate for a fullback.
All right. The Green Bay Packers are favored by 6 points in this game. This is the closest of all of the games according to sports books. And who do you want to win and who do you think is going to win?
Oh, man. I obviously want the Packers to win. I want nothing but humiliation and suffering for the Cowboys. And I'm going to go even with on 1.5 legs, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they're going to beat the line, but I think they'll do just enough to keep that a win, just barely.
Yeah, I think that's your heart talking. I'm with you. I want the Packers to win. I wanted the Cowboys to win last week because I think the playoffs are better with them around, but I think the playoffs are even better with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers around. So I want the Packers to win, but I kind of think the Cowboys are going to win. Eek. Sorry, Brendan. All right, that's all we've got for this game. We are going to stop recording and move on to the next game.
Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.